All right, my friends, everybody find a chair. Find a chair, everybody sit down. And once you're sitting, why don't you just go ahead and pop those masks off, take a deep breath. Okay, so we're going to start differently today. I don't have like a full, you know, lesson that I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you in a bit, but we're going to do something that we haven't done before. And man, it's like sometimes we get in here and we can almost go through the routine, especially when we do this 12 weeks in a row. And it's like, all right, we come in, we chit chat a little bit, then we sit down, we get an update on the schedule and what we have to be working on. Then somebody shares testimony. Then David talks for a while and I struggle to pay attention. And then he dismisses us room by room and we go and start to share what we did in the book or make up something because we didn't do our work or we're like, whatever it is. And we're just going to interrupt that routine. And we're going to interrupt it in a way that, like, we honestly should interrupt our lives more frequently. And that is by praying. And so I'm going to give everybody, like, 3 to 4 minutes. We're actually going to hit a switch in a second and turn off the lights. I'm going to put one prayer up on the screen. Go ahead and put it up there. The prayer is this: Lord, what do you want to change? Because this whole step that we're wrapping up this week and moving on to the next one is about life change. And it's like, okay, I've assessed the situation. I know how broken my life is. And now, God, what do you want to do about it? And here's the kind of prayer I'm going to encourage you to pray in these like 3 minutes. We're going to put on a song, turn off the lights. I don't know how often you do this, but I want you to pray and ask a question. And not tell God what you want him to do, but just say, Lord, what do you want to change? And then I want you to sit still and I want you to listen. And I just want you to see if there was something that you wrote in your book or a scripture that you read this week or something that somebody has shared with you before that maybe God would speak to you by bringing that thing to mind. All right, so I'm not saying ask this question and expect to hear this deep voice, you know, saying, here's what I want you to change, but that you would just still your heart, still your mind, because there's so many things to think about in our day-to-day life with school and friends and extracurriculars and all the stuff going on, family, but just 3 minutes, be absolutely still. Ask God one question and then listen. And I think if we do that, that'll really prepare us to go share with our groups tonight, like, here's what I think God is trying to change in my heart or in my life. All right? So, lights off, music on. You got 3-4 minutes. Lord, what do you want to change? I like that. I don't know if you guys thought that was weird or if it was helpful or encouraging to you, but that was great for me. And I just, you know, one of the things I thought there at the end when it was quiet was like, oh my gosh, like what if each day you got, you know, this book and you got this book and you sat down and I don't know, Spotify or Apple Music, and you just played one worship song in a set of headphones to remove the distractions of the world around you, and you just prayed, God, would you teach me something? And you just took like just a few minutes just to still your heart and mind. God, would you help me focus and learn from you right now? And you just calm down for a second. You put your phone like in the other room or like in a drawer or turned it off. And then you just had like a pen and your Bible open and your book open. And then you started going after the lessons. I wonder if that would like change our experience a little bit, because life is moving so fast and it's full of so many distractions. It's really refreshing just to slow down and stop every now and then. So I hope you were encouraged by that, and I hope you're encouraged, and I'm confident you will be by what's coming next. Fun fact, we were going to have a girl named Mason, M-A-S-Y-N, come and share her testimony tonight. But she got exposed to COVID-19. And she doesn't have it, as far as we know, but she was exposed. And because we care about you and care about everybody's safety, we said, all right, let's just postpone. You can come do it another time. But I found the next best thing, a male named Mason, M-A-S-O-N. And so you guys welcome up here to share his testimony, Mason Moreland. Thank you so much, Mace. Hope you guys are encouraged by that. I remember, Mason, that conversation that we had on the porch of the dining hall at Camp Barnabas that summer before your senior year, when you were just at the very beginning stages of that, and it was so evident that God was working in his heart. And like up until that point, you know, he described his pride that he took in having a certain reputation and looking a certain way. And you can get away with that. You totally can. He did. He was like one of my favorites. I'm like, this kid is awesome. He's a stud. And he was hiding all this stuff. And what he quoted was, it was Psalm 51, right? Where you were like wasting away. Psalm 32. My bad. I did 32. Did you reference 51 another time? Okay, but it was 32 where he was wasting away inside. No one knows until you tell them, you know? And he only told me because God was already working in his life. And it was so encouraging for me to get to encourage him and strengthen him and show him, hey, I love you even more now knowing the real you and what's going on than I did before. And I loved you before, but you knew I only loved part of you because you were keeping things from me and from so many people. And it's been so great to see him walk out into the light, loved by God first, accepted by God first, forgiven by God first, and then other people that know God to be able to show him that love and that acceptance and that forgiveness in human form as an expression of the body of Christ. And then to see him grow and be strengthened and then share that love and acceptance and hope with others. So encouraged, and thank you for sharing that with all of us tonight. All right, quick recap, guys. This is the stuff that I told you we always do, but I want to remind you, here's where we're at in the process. We've done help, entirely trust God, assess the situation. We've said, I can't, God can. What's wrong? And now we're looking at what's right. Like, what's the right thing to do? What does God want to change in my life? So a reminder, this is last week, we're talking about L, life change. We take action now. And we make the changes that God wants to make in our lives. We take action on the things we just prayed about. Because, as I stated last week, confession at the end of assess the situation without repentance is just an announcement. There's no change that happens if you only confess and you don't repent. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the third part of the three ways you can change your life, the repentance plan. Specifically, I want you guys to have the opportunity to share what God's showing you as you've worked on that footprint at the end of the letter L. So we talked last week, you know, change your playground, change your playmates, and now we're talking about change your purpose. Like, how are you actually going to walk in repentance? And I want to reiterate one thing. I asked you to take a picture of this screen, the openbible.info/topics website. One of the most important parts of this step is learning the power of God's word in your life. I know Psalm 51 and 32 were quoted. I'm trying to think if there were a few other scriptures that were referenced, but God's word served as Mason's, and it can for you, as his authority in his life, his conscience, and his guide. So I just want to tell you a few things about the Bible, and we'll put that on the screen. The Bible is our authority, our conscience, and our guide. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So you want to go where to go and how to get there in life? Learn God's word and follow it. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God's word is powerful, and it's also just food for our souls. Here's what Jesus said when he was being tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted just like you and I are tempted. And the devil was tempting him as he was fasting and avoiding food in order to focus and pray to God. He said, hey, turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus said, no, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is like our daily food. So if you skip breakfast, you're going to be hungry by lunch. And if you don't spend time in God's word, your soul is going to be starving. And some people will go weeks, months, years without feeding, and their souls are wasting away. But God's word is our daily, daily bread. We got to eat every day. And then lastly, I mentioned this at orientation. I'll mention it again. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive. It's powerful. It speaks to us. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between our soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. God's word is a light to your path and a lamp to your feet. I want to commend to you one resource. If you have your phone, take a picture of this one. This is an incredible book. It's called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible in 15 Minutes a Day. So it has these little lessons that you can do that just takes 15 minutes. And if you do that for 30 days, you'll have a greater understanding of the Bible. Because sometimes your resistance to eating that meal of God's word is the fact that you just don't understand it. And you open it up and you turn somewhere and you're like, I don't even know what this is saying. But I promise you, if you spend 30 days, 15 minutes a day in this book, you'll know, oh, I'm reading a history book right now. This is just telling a story. Oh, this is poetry. I'm supposed to read this like the lyrics of a song. Oh, this is prophecy. This is telling about something that's going to happen in the future. And you'll be able to understand who's writing, why they're writing, who they're writing to, and how you can understand it. This is an incredible resource, and I would encourage everybody to pick it up. And then also, we've already given you the openbible.com/topics website. All right, so God's word is helpful. You have a whole column in your repentance plan. If you haven't filled it out, make sure that you have scripture to memorize and meditate on. Put it on note cards on your car dashboard or on your mirror or on your laptop, you know, around the screen. Tape it next to your mouse pad, wherever you can, to memorize God's word. Write it in a Sharpie on the back of your hand or on your arm, places that you can remind yourself and meditate on God's truth, which is the light to your path and a lamp for your feet. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to dismiss you to your room so you can talk about your repentance plans and share those and encourage and strengthen one another. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would show us, even as we walk to our rooms, the change you want to make in our lives. And you'd make it really clear to us how we can share that with others so that they might hold us accountable and ask us good questions and encourage us and celebrate with us the work you're doing in our lives. So I pray that your spirit would move and be active all over this building tonight and the rest of the time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen.